From time to time, I have encountered Christians who have come to me. They've talked about problems in life, just things about themselves that they don't like. And occasionally, they want to change. Sometimes they just want to tell me what they don't like. They don't seem to be too interested in changing. One of the things that faces, I think, most Christians is changing things in life, in your own life, that need to be changed. Many believers experience a lot of frustration over this. The kind of things I'm talking about, maybe somebody smokes and they want to quit smoking. Maybe they're not an alcoholic, but they just like the taste of certain alcoholic beverages, and maybe they like that the slightly intoxicated feeling that comes with ingesting an alcoholic beverage. I mean, if you never drank before, then you don't know what that's like. Some Christians have struggled with smoking pot because they like that feeling that they get. Some Christians, they struggle with the temper. And they seem to get upset very quickly, very easily. Some Christians are very critical of others. Some, they seem to thrive on gossip, telling what they know. Some Christians, they just can't seem to be on time for anything. If they had to be someplace by 8 o'clock, you could get them up at midnight, they would still be late. Some are just like this. And when you sit down and talk to them, and there are a lot of other things. I'm sure you could say, well, here, Brother Martin, here's something about me. Let me tell you my problem. I'm sure we could all talk about different things that we don't like about ourselves, things that we want to change and so forth. And when you sit down and talk with these folks, generally speaking, they say, well, I want to change. I really do. You know, I wish it wasn't like this. I wish it, you know, was different. I just want, you know, I'm tired of being this way, and I just can't stand this about myself or whatever. And you know how it goes. I'm sure we probably all expressed ourselves that way. Well, today what I want to do is walk you through some scripture and I'm going to show you how to change. Now, I'll just tell you right up front, if you'll listen to this message and receive it and apply what I'm going to show you in the Word, you're going to change. Now, I don't care what you're dealing with. You're changing. You will do this. Many times Christians want to blame God for the fact that they haven't changed. Many times they say, well, you know, I'm just waiting for God to change me. You're going to be waiting until He comes back. Because God by Himself, separate from you, is not going to change you. So if you've got a temper problem now, or if you have a problem with too many foul words that come out when you get upset about something, or whatever the case may be for you, God is not going to step in and just change that absent of you. And too many Christians live in a world to where they think that's the way it's going to work, and it's not. You are the one that has to bring about the change. But, okay, think of it like this. You're trying to potty train a little child. Now that child gets to the point to where he knows he needs to go to the bathroom instead of in his pull-up pants or whatever it would be. Now he'll do it. And he'll go to the bathroom and he'll stand there. And he'll call for mommy or daddy to help him. Because he wants this to take place. But he's just not quite big enough to, you know, do everything with the pants and the toilet seat and all that other. So the mommy and daddy will step in and help. See what I mean? That's the way it is with God. Now, He'll help you. But if you don't go to the bathroom and ask for the help, He's not going to help. So you are the one that is 100% responsible for the change. Yet God will step in and help. And I'm going to show this to you in Scripture. First off, look in Romans chapter 6. Let's take a look here at what God has said relative to us and believers. Now, we're not talking about Christians that are, you know, they're committing great, horrible sin. I mean, they just walked away from God. We're talking about Christians that are faithful, if you will, in their relationship with the Lord. They just want some things to change in their life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, essentially what this is saying is, the moment that you died to everything that is objectionable to God. In other words, the moment that you died to the stranglehold anything has over you that is contrary to the purpose and plan of God. And he says, look, in verse 4, "Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father." Now, I don't have time to teach on this, but the glory of the Father is the life of God. John chapter 1, "And we beheld his glory." The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. The glory of the Father is the life of the Father. Jesus was raised from death to life by the power of life. And he says, "Even so we also should walk in newness of life." In other words, God has given to us the exact same resurrection life that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. We have that life now because it is spiritual life. And he says we should walk in that life. The power of God's life. See, here's the thing. If you don't understand that the life you got when you that you received when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you don't understand that that is the life of God, if you think it's nothing more than forgiveness for sin, then you've already shackled yourself to problems. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are not just forgiven. You are made new. Old, passed away, new comes into existence. Remember that? So we should walk in newness of life. Now, newness of life is not bound by problems. It is free from the problems. You say, well, then why do I feel like I'm bound to problems? We'll get to that. In Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Now, I don't have time to teach on Romans chapter 7. If you want an in-depth, line-by-line, verse-by-verse teaching on the entire book of Romans, get my teaching on Romans. It's available. Romans chapter 7 is not about a Christian struggling with sin and having a sin nature. I just can't teach this whole chapter right now. But in Romans 7 verse 5, "For when we were," past tense, you see this? "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law." Why was the law given? To expose sin. How did the sin come about? The sin nature. The law was given to those who had the sin nature. And he says, we're delivered from the law. You can't be delivered from the law if you still live with the sin nature under the law. You see this? He says, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held," past tense, "that we should serve in newness of spirit." Well, in Romans 6 it said newness of life. "And not in the oldness of the letter." Verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I. But what I hate, that do I." In other words, he's saying, I do what I should do, but it's like I'm struggling trying to figure this out. Now, in this particular passage, or part of this passage in Romans 7, he's making reference to the Jews living under the law. In that they saw the law, and the law said, do this, and they said, okay, we'll do that. And yet there was something in them, which was the sin nature, that was keeping them from living according to the fullness of the righteousness of the law that was revealed unto them. And he says, but I'm using this message relative to this, or using this verse relative to this message. In other words, I'm born again. Okay, I have this newness of spirit. I have this newness of life. Why can't I quit such and such? Why is it I just, keep struggling with, it's like I can't stop taking that little sip of Jack Daniels. Or that little toke on that pot, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's like I want to quit, but it's like I just can't. Why can't I be on time for things? I'm tired of being late for everything, but it's just like I just can't change this. That's a variation on the theme of verse 15. Verse 24. "Oh, wretched man that I am, I'm late for everything. Oh, wretched man that I am." Every time I get upset, those foul words come out of my mouth. "Oh, wretched man that I am." Every time somebody looks cross-eyed at me, my temper goes off. Who shall deliver me from these terrible habits in my life? Variation on the theme of what he's saying. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Okay, what are we seeing here relative to this message? With your mind, you acknowledge that the things of God are what you should be doing. But you're struggling with something in your life that's saying differently. And the more that you struggle with this something, my temper, my tardiness, whatever, the more you struggle with this, the more you begin to believe it can't be broken. The more you begin to believe you can't stop. And the more that you start believing that you can't, is the less you try to stop. Because if you believe you can't, then what's the use of trying? I've tried. It's like, it's easy to quit smoking. I've done it hundreds of times. If you don't believe you can quit, then why try? Yet, God keeps saying, wait a minute now, I have declared over you that you have newness of life. You were crucified with my Son. You have newness of spirit. You're no longer bound. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So you've been set free by this newness of life. The problem is you don't understand that. Now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, listen closely to what I'm getting ready to say. Think right now about that habit or habits that you want to break. Whatever it is. You did not start that habit after you got born again. It was with you before you came to Christ. You didn't start sipping after you came to know Jesus. You didn't start smoking after you came to know Jesus. You didn't start being late to everything in life after you came to know Jesus. These are things that go back to what happened, what was going on in your life before you knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your mouth, maybe you don't spew out as many four-letter words, but before you knew Jesus, listen, if they're coming out now, I'll guarantee you they were coming out before you knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. Much more colorfully. You probably invented some. He says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. That means that stuff, the baggage that you have carried with you into your life in Christ, according to God, from His perspective, His declaration, it's passed away. It's over. It's no longer a part of your life. You say, well, it sure is. I live with it every day. Well, let's continue. All change, everything that you want changed in your life, whatever it is you're struggling with, all the change you desire begins in the Spirit. Look in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5:17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is not saying walk in the Holy Ghost, but it's a capital S. I know that. What he's talking, if you keep reading, it becomes more clear he's not talking about the Holy Ghost. What he's saying here, allow me to paraphrase, walk according to the newness of spirit that you have, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Whatever it is that's in you that causes you to relate, to work, to church, to everything else in life, if you walk in the newness of the life that God has given to you, you won't be doing this. If you walk in the newness of the life that God has given to you, you will not continue with this smoking, with this drinking, with this whatever the habit would be. And he says, if you'll do this, if you choose, this is presenting to you a decision here. Choose to walk according to the newness of the Spirit, the newness of life that you received in Christ Jesus when all things became new. Choose to do this. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Whatever those habits are, whatever those behaviors are, you won't fulfill it. It'll stop. Look in Romans chapter 8. Turn back over there. In verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Let me rephrase it for this teaching. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the old habits, to live according to what we used to do. For if we live according to those old habits, we will continue to experience frustration in our life. Now again, I realize I'm amplifying, but it's for the sake of teaching. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now many people have said, well, that's the Holy Ghost because it's a capital S. But that's not talking about the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is going to do any mortifying, he doesn't need my help. If you through the newness of life that you've received from God, if you through everything became new and you accepted Jesus Christ and all things passed away, if you through the power of the resurrection life that caused you to be born again, exercise that power over those habits, and he says, you know what? You're going to experience the life that God has given to you, that you will not continue to do these things. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You say, well, all right, well, here's another capital S. All change begins in the Spirit, not with the Spirit. Now let me explain this. The moment you became born again, every change in your life to enable you to become fully conformed to the image of Christ, that potential was placed in you through the newness of the life that you received when you were born again. It is not up to the Holy Ghost to change you. It is up to you to change yourself. Look here. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, looking at His reflection, looking at who's the one that's looking at it. We're the ones that have stepped in front of that mirror. You see what I mean? We're the ones that stepped in front of it. The Holy Ghost didn't step in front of it. We're the ones that stepped in front of it. We are the ones beholding that image, that glory. And to become what we are seeing, to become a reflection of the image of Christ, to conform to that image, that confirmation takes place in our spirit. That confirmation does not take place in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit already is that image. See this? He's already God. I'm the one that's supposed to be changing, not the Holy Ghost. I'm the one that has to do this. So now, all the change begins in the spirit. You cannot change with the soul. The soul is the seat of the problem. There are a lot of people, I was raised to believe that the spirit and the soul are the same thing, and they're not. I mean, it clearly talks about body, soul, and spirit. It identifies that we are a triune being. The soul is not the part that's been born again. The soul is the part that gets transformed as far as your mind, your thinking, the way you perceive things. The spirit is what has been born again. The spirit is the part of you that is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Because you can be born again. See, and think about this. This is the problem that you're going through. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know you're born again. Yet you got this problem. Where is the problem? Is it in your spirit? Because if it's in your spirit, then you've got a defective salvation. There is nothing defective or imperfect about the born-again life that God gave to you through your faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing about that life that is addicted to anything. There's nothing about that life that has these habits. It's in the realm of the soul. It's in the area of your perception, the area of what you think. That's why true, permanent, God-glorifying change does not take place in the soul. It starts in the spirit and grows out of the spirit to impact the soul, and it's produced outwardly in your life. Right here is where a lot of Christians are missing it. They are trying so hard to will themselves into change. I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Ever said that? And what happened? You did it again. And the failure to make that change in the area of the soul by using the soul is one reason why a lot of Christians drop out of church. It's because, well, I can't do this and I can't do that, so why even try it? Well, you can do it. You have that life of God on the inside of you, so you have the ability to change, but you've got to recognize that the change starts in the spirit. And you may think horribly about yourself, but God doesn't. He looks beyond your soul and He sees in your spirit the potential that you have to become like Christ. That's what He sees. And you can go to Him and say, I can't, I can't, I can't. And He's going to say, but you can do all things through Christ with strength. You can, you can, you can. Listen, God is never going to come in agreement with you over your habits. Trust me. He's never, if you go to him and say, I'd change, but I just can't, he's not going to say, yeah, you're right, you can't. You're stuck like this. You better hope I come quickly. It doesn't work that way. Now let's talk about steps to change. Number one, this is the most important. This is it right here. Number one, this is it. If you can't do this, forget it. You must want to change. If you don't want to change, you ain't changing. If you don't want to change, the change isn't going to happen. This right here is one of the, in my opinion, based on my experience, is the primary reason why most Christians don't change is because they really don't want to. I've talked to Christians who, they smoke. Well, I know I shouldn't, and I know it's not a good testimony, and so on and so forth. And it's, but you know, I just can't say. What it really comes down to, they don't want to. I know of a particular preacher. I won't give you any names, but I know of a particular preacher who smoked for years and talked about, you know, wanting to quit and so on and so forth. Well, one day God just sat down with him and said, look, I need to take you beyond where you are right now as far as your ministry is concerned, and I'm going to be sending you into places to minister to people. But I can't send you into minister if you're still doing this, because when you get there in their culture, they will completely shut you out if they think you do this. At that moment, his attitude toward stopping smoking changed. And he changed. It ended. Because now he had a greater want to than what he did before. See? No matter how much he thought he wanted to, and I'm not speaking poorly of him, he'd say the same thing if he was standing here. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing his testimony. If you don't want to change, you're not going to change. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Take a look here in verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, well, that's us, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So if you don't want to smoke, then set your affection on things above. But if on the inside you still get some kind of pleasure out of smoking and you kind of don't really want to, then what you've done is you've got your affection set on things on the earth, or the alcohol, or the, you know, fill in the blank, for each person, whatever it pertains to. You've got your affection set on things on the earth, not on things above. This is why you're always late. This is why that you always, you speak these kinds of words that you shouldn't say. I mean, on and on it goes. Remember Job's wife, or Job's wife, Lot's wife. She set her affection on the things of Sodom and became a pillar of salt, see? She would never have done that if her affections didn't lie back there. Look in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and take a look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have to choose to change. You have to want this. If you don't want it bad enough, it's not going to happen. And this is what's going to hinder God from helping you, is that you really don't want to change. It doesn't mean that much to you. In your eyes, the problem isn't that big of a deal, and you expect everybody around you to just put up with you. You don't see it as hindering and hampering your testimony for Christ, when it really is. Now look over in Philippians chapter 3. Because not only do you have to want the change, you have to allow God to begin to give you a vision of what he sees relative to this. Or, put another way, to gain his perspective of this problem. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So take whatever it is you're struggling with and go to God and pray about it. Be sincere about this. And to say, look, you know, I've got this habit. Here's what I'm doing. And I need to understand it better. Because, see, as long as you want to do it, you don't have God's perspective on it. As long as you don't want to change, you don't understand how God sees it. Ask him to fulfill this verse. Just tell him, I think I'm otherwise minded at this point, but I want you to reveal it unto me. Help me see what you see. However you perceive this behavior in my life, I want to perceive it and see it the exact same way. If it's utterly disgusting to you, I want to be disgusted. I want what you have right now, God. Help me. Give me this revelation. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Tell him you want him to move upon you. And I'll say it like this. You want an anointing of revelation and wisdom concerning this thing that's in your life or these things. I want to see this from your eyes, Father. I want to see this as you see it. I want to understand it as you understand it. I want your wisdom about why it's wrong. Show this to me, Father. Look in Joshua chapter 6. Take a look here in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. I have given it into your hand. At that moment, Jericho still stood and all the warriors still had their swords and their spears and their armor and everything else. But God says, Joshua, see. Joshua, listen to me. Here, Joshua, right here. Look at me for a moment. Listen to me. Both of them. Okay, open up. I want you to see what I see. In the natural, you see a fortified city that cannot be taken. In the natural, you see warriors that are more highly trained than what you have. In the natural, you see all of that. But I want you to see what I see. I have given that into your hands. I have placed, now listen to this, I have placed this problem in your control. I've given it to you. Put another way, I have placed this habit that you're dealing with under you, under your authority. I have placed the victory of this thing. I already see it conquered in your life. I don't see it ruling in your life. I see it conquered in your life. I see your Jericho and all the mighty men of war associated with your Jericho. I see it already defeated. I want you to see what I'm seeing. Capture this vision that I have. In the natural, you see the problem and the habit, but in the realm of the spirit, I see it already conquered. I see it already beaten. I see it in your hands, in your control. So you've got to want to change. You have to want God to help you with your vision concerning this, and you have to begin altering what you think. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle or habits, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now look here at the way this is being said. Verse 22. Stop giving in to those old habits. According to the deceitful lust. There is a deceitful lust that's telling you it doesn't matter if you're late for things. It doesn't matter if you have your sip now and then of booze. It doesn't matter if you do this, that, and the other, whatever it is you're doing. There's something in you deceiving you that's been deceiving you to make you think that you can keep doing this, or deceiving you to make you think you can't stop. And he says, look, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why is that? Because from God's perspective, you already own this Jericho. I mean, it is yours, it's beaten, it's whooped, it's defeated. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the way you think about this. Instead of continually dwelling on the, I wish I could, dwell on the, God says it's mine. God says I'm in charge in this. And he says, and live, verse 24, live according to that new man, that new spirit, that's the new newness of life, which according to the pattern of God himself has been created in you out of perfect righteousness and true holiness. So on the inside of you, you have God's righteousness and God's holiness as a power just waiting to be released over this habit and to conquer it. And I mean permanently conquer it. When David, remember what happened when David took down Goliath? Remember what he did? Remember the stone and the sling? Bam! Hit Goliath right between the eyes and he went down. Now he's dead, right? But then what does David do? He takes Goliath's sword and cuts his head off. There ain't going to be no resurrection. See this? Not only do you take your Goliath down, cut its head off. This is what he's talking about. Use righteousness to take it down and true holiness to cut his head off. You're in charge here. Live this way. Look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." In other words, you have to start developing a pattern of thinking that's in line with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of him that created him. Lie not to one another. You say, well, I don't lie. If you tell people you can't quit this habit, you're lying. Either that or you're ignorant and you don't know what God said about you. Because when you tell people you can't stop something, it's not true. According to God's word, you can stop and you can change. So he says, look, stop. Now listen to this. Let me paraphrase. Stop confessing your failures one to another. Because before God, this is a lie. You've put off that old man who was controlled by those failures and couldn't stop. You have put on the new man, which is renewed according to or after the knowledge of the image of him that created him. So you have to change the way you think about this. Now, again, this goes back. If you don't want to, then you know this is you're just going to be this way. But if you want to, this is what you've got to do this. You've got to start changing your way of thinking. Look in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed," or another way to say this is, "Do not remain conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Right now, in that particular habit of your life, that behavior, you're conformed to the world. Because according to the world, you can do it. And, you know, okay, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, but you can do it. I mean, that's just the way it is. He says, no, don't remain conformed to this world's way of thinking. Be renewed in your mind. Be transformed. Renew your thought process. So whatever it is you're dealing with, renew your way of thinking about the problem. Renew your way of looking at it. I can't, and I don't know why, are confessions of the soul, not the spirit. I can't stop. I don't know why stopping is impossible. I just don't understand. Those are confessions of the soul. The confession of the spirit is, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I am living according to righteousness and true holiness. My temper does not dominate me. The foul words do not come out of my word. I mean, you see what I'm saying here in this? It all depends on what you want to do here, but you've got to change your way of thinking. Next, you've got to believe that God wants to help you. Look in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." All right, now the Father has already started this helping process by letting us become born again. I mean, he made that provision available to us in chapter 8, verse 13. "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." God has given to us power in our born-again spirit, our born-again life, to conquer this habit or behavior. So in other words, it's like he's giving us some clues. He says, listen, there are a lot of things that I didn't have to do for you. I mean, I didn't have to make your born-again spirit more powerful than the problems. But I've done this, and the reason is because that life I've given to you is my life. You're never going to become God, but it's my life that I've given you, and that life is what you need to mortify or put to death these habits and behaviors. Look in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here we are. We're born again. We have newness of life. We have newness of spirit. And we say, this old habit, I just can't stand it. I want to change. I want to be different. I don't want to keep living like this. I don't want to keep acting this way and talking this way and so on and so forth. I just don't understand. I try so hard. Well, it says here, likewise. The word likewise means in addition to. In addition to what? In addition to the power of your born-again spirit, the Holy Spirit also helps you in the area of these things that you don't feel like you can change. Meaning, you haven't come to the place of fully understanding how, according to the power of your born-again spirit, you can stop this stuff. And the Holy Spirit says, look, it's just an information problem. It's not a power problem. It's an information problem. You don't fully understand how to stop, even though the power to stop is resident within you. So if you will begin to pray in me, in other words, start praying in tongues, then as you are praying in tongues, on a spiritual level, I will release into you and you will release out of you the perfect prayer to address this knowledge problem. And you'll come to the place of eventually understanding how to stop this thing. And I've heard of people testifying along these lines, you know, particular issue in their life, couldn't stop. Kept praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, it was like an overnight miracle. Suddenly, they could stop. And at first, they expressed surprise. I don't understand. I struggled with this thing for so long, and all of a sudden, I quit. It's like, well, duh. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit said He would do. He would help you. He doesn't do it for you. He helps you do it. He helps you pray the perfect prayer according to the will of God so that you are able to stop this thing. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, just take a look here beginning in verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In other words, all the frustration that you experience about not being able to change, all the anguish that you've gone through, all of the turmoil on the inside, I'm just tired of being this way. You hold on to this stuff, and you express it to other people when the subject comes up. And what you're doing is really expressing the stress and the anxiety of not being able to do, not understanding how to do it yourself. See? And he says, man, humble yourself and come to the point, admit that you really haven't put forth the effort, that you really haven't figured this all out. And so, I mean, whatever it is, just admit it and then humble yourself, admit it, and then cast the care of it over unto God. Cast the worry of it over unto Him. Because when you make a decision that you want to change and you begin to capture God's vision and His perspective of just how lousy this thing is that you're dealing with, when you begin to change your thought process, I mean, when all of these things start to happen on the inside of you, you can stop worrying about it. Now, He's not saying don't even think about it, don't be concerned about a change. What He's saying is cast the care of it over unto Him. Because the life that He has given to you didn't come from you. It came from Him, but He has given it to you. Cast the care of it over onto Him. He cares for you. Look over in Philippians chapter 4. I quoted from this. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What's your habit? What is it you're dealing with? Well, you know, it's just this. I'm just mean. I'm just whatever. Okay. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. What is Christ strengthening you? It's you operating by the power of the born-again life that God has given to you. The Holy Spirit works with you on that spiritual level. Remember, all change begins in the realm of the Spirit. It all starts on the inside before it manifests on the outside. I can do all things through that strength that comes from Christ. I can do it. I can stop this. And it's Christ's strength being given. Listen, if you want to change bad enough, I'll guarantee you he's going to give you the strength. If you want to, see, he'll give you this strength. Look in Psalm chapter 121. Take a look here in verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If he can make heaven and earth, trust me, he knows how to help you. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. In other words, let me just rephrase it for the sake of teaching. He will not sit back and allow a person who's determined to change to be unable to change. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He'll stay by your bedside day and night. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In other words, he's your ever-present help in a time of need. He is there to help you break this, to help you stop it, to help you get over whatever it is that you feel you've been struggling with. What else do you need to do to change? You have to associate with iron. You say, what does that mean? All right, start off in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Take a look here. Verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Know them. In other words, know the people you're hanging around with. You know, birds of a feather flock together. Find a new flock. Start flying with a flock of people that aren't struggling with the same habits. Get rid of some of your friends, because people of like habits and behaviors and shortcomings are going to feed that in each other. That's why, listen, you can be, and this works all the time, doesn't matter. All the time. Get 1,000 people and put them at one place. Just 1,000. I don't care. Let's go down to the mall. Let's just get 1,000 people and put them all in one place. Just in an arena. Just put them all together. You give it enough time and every one of the people in there that smoke pot are going to find each other. You give it enough time and every woman who's of loose morals is going to be found of a man looking for a woman of loose morals. Every man who likes men is going to find each other. Every woman who likes women is going to find each other. Give it enough time in that situation, they're all going to find each other. If you've got lousy habits, whatever they are, trust me, it's just a matter of time before you're going to find them or they're going to find you. This is why you've got to disassociate yourself from people who feed the habit. And a lot of Christians are feeding the habit by associating with folks outside the church, because they can't find enough people in the church to feed it for them. So they associate. You want to change? Do you want this? Do you want to change? Yes. Start looking for another flock to fly with. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's see here. Verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What is the leaven in your life? If you get around with a bunch of people of the same lump, the leaven of your habits is going to leaven the whole bunch of you. See this? Now, it's a verse to illustrate, but I know you're capturing the image. Look in chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Put another way, bad habits will corrupt people who have bad habits. Meaning, if you keep hanging around people who feed that dog is going to keep biting you. You're going to have to put that thing down. You can't hang around these kinds of folks. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You need to hang around people who are going to provoke you unto good works, who are going to edify you with the word of God, who are going to speak life into you, who are going to stand with you against this thing. But you know what? There are a lot of Christians that don't want to hang around other Christians, in part because they don't want to change and they don't want to feel guilty, and in part because they're ashamed of the fact that they haven't changed. Now, if you want to change, you've got to start hanging around people who will edify you, who will provoke you unto love and to good works. People who will consider you. You see this? And they'll be Aaron's and hers to you. And here's what's interesting. If you just choose to be around people like this, you don't necessarily have to tell them the habit you're trying to break. You just have to be around people who are walking the walk of Christ. And as you are around them, the association begins to rub off. Okay, example. How many of you have the perfect angel for a child, then all of a sudden that kid comes home from school with a potty mouth? Where'd you learn that? At school. Why? Because little Johnny's been hanging around with the potty mouth kids and comes home with a new word. And now you got to sit little Johnny down and say, this isn't right. Well, a week later, here comes Johnny again. And what does Johnny do? He's got another new word. What are you going to do? You're going to maybe consider telling Johnny he can't play with those kids anymore? Listen, when I was growing up, should I say this? When I was growing up, there were some parents that didn't want their daughters dating me. I still don't know why. They thought I'd be a bad influence on their daughters. The next point. Proverbs 27. Yeah, we'll leave that one alone. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. This is what I mean by you've got to associate with iron. You have to associate with people who are going to sharpen your countenance, who are going to encourage you against this thing, whatever it is you're dealing with. If you do, associating with them is going to only help you. It will be an encouragement, even if they don't know what you're going through. You can walk away from those times of fellowship and conversation feeling more confident in yourself that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You have to start speaking your change. Look in Mark chapter 11. Remember, we talked about how you've got to start changing the way that you think. When you begin to change the way that you think, you'll begin to change the way that you speak. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now I know he goes on and talks about forgiveness in this, but we're not talking about external things. We're talking about an internal change. We're talking about changing what you have perceived about yourself concerning this particular habit. You did not think you could change before. Now you have to start thinking and speaking differently about this. You have to start speaking what God says. I am free. I'm a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. I'm no longer bound to this thing. I'm no longer connected to this habit. I've been set free. I am on time for everything, for church, for work, for appointments, for what. I do not desire to smoke any longer. Even though your body, now listen to this, even though your body is contradicting you and calling you a liar. You understand I want to? I understand what you want, but you're going to understand what I want. I say I do not desire this anymore. I do not desire my little sip at night so I can calm down, because the peace of God that passes all understanding guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I don't need an external thing introduced into my body. What I need is the internal thing that's already there, released against my mind and my thoughts and my soul. See this? In John chapter 6, take a look here at verse 63, where Jesus makes this statement, that my words are spirit, and they are life. He says, the spirit quickeneth, the spirit produces life, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See that? Change begins in the realm of the spirit. Your flesh, which is so directly connected to your soul, is going to stand in agreement with your soul that says you're conquered, you're beat, you're whipped, and there's nothing you can do about it. But the spirit understands, hey, no, this isn't true. I am no longer directly connected like I used to be. I no longer have a nature of death. I have the nature of God's life. God's words are spirit and they are life. The change begins in the realm of the spirit. So out of the spirit, you begin to speak the words of life against this habit and against this behavior. You begin to release that life against this thing and change begins to take place. But again, you have to want it. You have to utilize the tools of change. Prayer, primarily praying in the spirit. Fasting, worship, primarily private worship. And the word, confession, meditation, and so forth. I'm not going to dwell a long time on these because we've talked about these so much. These are tools of change. And the last point we're going to cover, you have to accept what you don't see. You've been accepting what you see. Now you have to start accepting what you don't see. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Look here in verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, you're diligently seeking God in this. I want this habit to break, and so on and so forth. All these steps that we've covered here. But without faith it's impossible to believe him. In other words, faith says, I believe all these things will work. It doesn't matter what I feel right at this moment, that I feel like I want to run outside and light up, or that I want to, you know, run out and I got to, you know, pick up my next, you know, bottle on the way home, or whatever it is, whatever, doesn't matter, whatever. Faith says, I don't understand it, but I believe it's going to happen. Faith says, I can't sit down and put a formula to it, but I know it's going to work. Faith says the change is going to happen. Faith says, I will not be what I am today. Faith says that when I wake up tomorrow, I won't be connected to this habit anymore. Faith will say that every morning. Faith will say, I am free. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because when you go to him, you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See this? And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now this is speaking about his return, and our, you know, the mortal putting on immortality, the corruption putting on incorruption, and so on and so forth. But I'm using this verse to make a point. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Okay, now that's us. All right, we've accepted Jesus Christ. We're his sons. We're part of his family. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Right now, when I walked in here, I had the habit, all right? I don't know what it's like to live without this thing. I don't know what I shall be tomorrow without this habit. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I don't know what it's going to be like to not have the feelings that I want to go do this, or I want to say that, or I want to act this way. I don't know what it's going to be like. And because I don't know that, that means I'm headed into the direction of the unknown. See, there are some people, interestingly, Christians now, it's almost like they have a sense of security in this habit, even though they know it's wrong. And I'm sure that we could have psychologists line up and explain why it's like that in people. But you know what? I don't need to know why it's like that. It just is. I don't know what it's going to be like for me to not live with this habit in my life. However, I do know this. The change is coming. And I know this. It's going to be better than what it is right now. I don't presently understand better. I don't know how my life can be, because right now my life, you know, I'm feeling like a lot of things are really good about me and about, you know, I mean, some things, yeah, I don't know, but I'm pretty good overall. I don't know what it's going to be like when I get there. But I just know it's going to be better than what it is right now. Now, some of the habits and behaviors you have, you know it's going to be better. I mean, some of you, you know, and people listening to this, you know, just think, what if you're a smoker and you stop smoking. How much money is that going to save you every week? Every year? Think about it. What if you, you know, drink a little bit and you stop? How much money is that going to save you? What if you still smoke your dope at night? How much money is that going to save you if you stop that? How many black eyes is it going to save you if you change the way you talk to people when you get mad at them? We've just saved you money on medical bills. Right now, you don't know what it's going to be like to live in the freedom that Christ died to give you. That's why you have to accept what you don't presently see. Start seeing it, if you will, even though you don't fully understand it. But according to God's word, it's going to be better than what it is right now. Now, here's something to try and encourage you along these lines. When the change fully manifests, you're going to look back on it and say, why didn't I do this sooner? If you cling to the, this is just the way I am, and people are going to have to love me anyway, you don't want to change. And you don't care about your testimony for Christ, and you don't care about who you hurt or who you impact negatively. Come to the place of disliking this thing as much as God. Apply these steps that I've shown you, and I'm telling you right now, you'll change. Now, I know that there may be people in here today that you don't have issues in your life. I mean, you don't have habits that need to be changed. And well, praise God for it. But maybe you know somebody who's struggling, maybe a friend or someone. It's like, man, I just wish I could change. Get a copy of this message and pass it on to them. Because I'm telling you what, the life that God has given to us as a believer, it is impossible for that spiritual life to be bound to anything of this world. Because this life we have is not of this world. It's heavenly in origin. You can be free. Whatever it is you're dealing with, you can be free. And you can change and line up with God's desires for your life.